Cambridge 105 Radio.
Welcome to Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105. Coming up, we shall be talking Mill Road Cycle with Anna Williams from Cambridge Cycle Campaign. Also going to be chatting to Anna about the changes happening to Station Square. Also in the studio, we shall be chatting to Rob from Outspoken Cycles. Rob's going to be telling us all about folding bicycles, the latest craze around Cambridge. It seems like everywhere you go now, everyone's got a folding bicycle. And also joining us, Peter Blenko from Cambridge Cycling Club, organiser of this weekend's Ike Sill Race, which is a road race in South Cambridgeshire. And Mary Twitch is going to be joining us as well. And we're also going to be going over to Milton Cycle Park, where we're going to be chatting to Ramona Loveridge. And she's a British cycling coach, and she's going to be telling us about how we're training young people here in Cambridge at Cambridge Junior Cycling Club here as well. First up, Anna, tell us about the situation from Anna, I should say, is from Cambridge Cycle Campaign.
Lovely to be here.
It's good, and it's lovely to have you with us as well, Anna.
So, I thought I'd just tell people a little bit about CamCycle, the Cambridge Cycling Campaign, in case people haven't heard of it before. So we're a local membership charity in Cambridge, and we work for more, better and safer cycling for all ages and abilities. And we do various things. We produce cycling resources, we host some fun cycling events and rides, and a lot of our work really is concentrating on campaigning and lobbying for better cycling facilities. So that's kind of where Mill Road comes in, because it's not the nicest place to cycle. And last year, just in case listeners aren't aware of the background and what's happening on Mill Road, so the bridge, we found out from Network Rail and Govia Thames Link Railway that they were going to be doing some work on the railway under the bridge, and they're going to have to close the bridge. And they initially proposed that this was going to be for 8 weeks, starting in May, and it was going to be completely closed to everyone, cars, cyclists, pedestrians. So understandably, there was quite an outcry in the local community from councillors, residents and groups like ourselves and the Mill Road Traders Association. So following a meeting last year, and the kind of feedback from the community, Network Rail and Govia have moved that now to July, August, and they've said there will be pedestrian access, and this is likely to be in the form of a temporary footbridge next to the current bridge, and it'll be wide enough for wheelchairs, people with buggies and people wheeling their bikes. So you won't be able to cycle on that bridge, but you'll be able to wheel your bike, which is kind of obviously a lot better than no access at all for 8 weeks.
Great experiment. It sounds fun. We'll see how transport works without the car.
Well, that's the thing, really, because
that's a thumbs up from Rob Turner there for Outspoken.
Yeah, I mean,
I like cycling down Mill Road, but when it's quieter.
Well, and also the thing is, some people do like cycling down Mill Road, but at the moment, yes, it's if you're cycling with a child or, you know, you're kind of a bit unsteady, it's not a nice place to cycle. So CamCycle, really, we think, let's make the most of this experiment. You know, this the road's going to be closer through traffic. You'll still be able to access it from each end, from residents and businesses. But, you know, let's try and recapture the spirit of the Mill Road Winter Fair and make this a positive experience, something positive out of this bridge closure. I mean, just imagine like a Mill Road festival, a summer festival over July and August. You could have parklets, which are kind of like a car parking space size for seating, planting, kind of space to relax. We could maybe have like a beach, kind of big sandpit for kids. We could have a treasure trail down the street. We could have evening things, sort of like stalls for some of the restaurants and cafes. Let's make the most of this time and a summer to remember and kind of explore what we can do when there's not that through traffic there. So I have some news on this event, really calling for ideas at the moment. And there's going to be a meeting, an open public meeting, on Friday the 29th of March. That's on Mill Road. We're not quite sure of the location yet, to be confirmed, and that's going to be at 7:30. And if you keep an eye on the overmillroadbridge.org.uk, you can find out the location when that's confirmed just in the next week. But yeah, really calling for any ideas of Mill Road and how we can make the most of this opportunity.
It could be like a continental sort of everyone dining out.
Definitely, definitely. In the streets. And I mean, summer really is a time when we get a lot of visitors, a lot of tourists. There's a lot of kind of international students. So I think, yeah, let's attract these people to the street.
Like
let's make it really successful for the traders as well. Because I mean, they're worried that actually their trade is going to drop off. But, you know, I think the trade that can come from pedestrians and cyclists is
difficult
even bigger.
It's difficult to stop in a car, isn't it? Well, if people are attracted to the area for a beach, that would attract me.
So that's some really good news, isn't it, for the city? And actually, if you think that's good news, and you must have said it, I should have said it at the beginning of the programme, but things didn't go quite as I planned. But fortunately, engineering, as always at Cambridge 105, have come to the rescue for me. So thank you very much getting us back on the road here. Bikeshed at cambridge105.co.uk. If you want to email that address this evening, then apparently that will come up on our screens as we chat along. And you want to be involved in the programme, do. So if you've got any comments about cycling in Cambridge, anything you've just heard Anna say, then join in with that one. Anna, I'm guessing that the Station Square situation near the railway station, that probably isn't going quite as well for you.
Well, Station Square is another area, much like Mill Road, where there are problems for cyclists and pedestrians. And to be honest, there are problems for everyone. I don't think, you know, we put a piece out on social media earlier in the year and it's the most commented on ever, anything we've ever put out. We had comments from taxi drivers, people getting the bus, people with mobility issues. I don't think we had a single positive comment.
So before you explain why everyone's getting a bit concerned about Station Square, once again, if you want to have a comment about that, then please do email us here at bikeshed@cambridge105.co.uk and we shall share your comments on air. So, Anna, what's the problem with Station Square from a cyclist point of view?
It's a nightmare. As a cyclist.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, How do you get from the north of Station Square to the south? It's really not clear. And it's a kind of, it was planned as a kind of public square, grand public square, and this great kind of transport hub. But actually, it's not really working for anybody at the moment. And the reason it was kind of in the news, it came up for us in January, it was because the developers are looking to build more in the area of the car park, looking to build an apart hotel, offices, flats and a multi-storey car park. And petitioned for a meeting to discuss some of the issues with that because, it's not working at the moment for cyclists and pedestrians and more development is going to make that worse. So let's sort of fix the issues we've got already.
So let's ask the other people in the studio. Rob, you obviously cycle around Cambridge quite a lot, and I also know you also use train quite a bit, don't you, in your travels, in your work. What do you think about Station Square? Do you have any comments?
It looks fine on the face of it, but when you try and use it, you haven't got a clue what to do. There's a mixture. I think every time I've used it, I've tried a different route across, and it's impossible to choose anything that works well. It's very haphazard. Need some guidance, I think. Bit of help, some coloured pathways or something of that sort of nature.
The thing is as well, this is going to be actually a key part of the Chisholm Trail. I don't know if you've heard of this. This is
definitely
kind of north-south route straight through Cambridge, primarily off-road. But obviously when you get to the station, that is going to be a sort of on-road section, or it's a section where there's potential conflicts with other road users. And, you know, really, this is going to be a flagship cycleway for Cambridge. And we need that square to be a key part of it and not causing issues for people that are new to cycling will be attracted by the Chisholm Trail. We need this square sorted out.
So what do you see as the solution? I mean, does CamCycle offer developers solutions to the problems you see? How does the process work?
Yeah, I mean, we've offered segregation is the key, segregating pedestrians and cyclists and cars. But as Rob was saying, it's a clear route. I mean, at the moment, there's just no clues. There are, you know, some kind of coloured way, curbed off cycleway is really what's needed. Again, when it's part of the Chisholm Trail, this needs to be all signposted and clear. This is part of a major cycleway, one of the UK's best sort of cycleways within a city. But one thing, if people are sort of getting interested in this topic, if they'd like to help, please like send your views to us, to CamCycle, on social media or on all the sort of social media channels. Get involved as a member. So become a member. It's really important to support our work. And also we have a big campaigning ride coming up soon. So this is called a Space for Cycling ride, and that's going to be on Saturday, 13th April. And that we'll be meeting at the Guildhall, 10 a.m. for 10:30, and we'll be cycling city centre to the Station Square and Mill Road, so highlighting some of the areas of the city where we believe we need more space for cycling, and then ending on Parker's Peace. So people be really, really welcome to come along to that if they'd like to make their voices heard and sort of say, you know, these areas we need more space for cycling in Station Square and Mill Road.
So we'll give people the date close to the day on that one, from that one.
But I think also one of the key issues is that cutting through the station is an access route to Addenbrookes. You know, and Addenbrookes employs so many people. Parking is so expensive, and so it goes along to the guided busway, which is the Chisholm Trail. You know, so that is just such a key link area, but there's just no linkage.
I mean, there's so many employers in that area. There's Cambridge Assessment and lots, you know, yeah.
AstraZeneca.
And people travelling south to north as well. People living in the south of the city and travelling to employers up in the Science Park in the north. So, yeah, it's a key route for lots of different types of people. And people going to school as well. We heard somebody saying, you know, my 11-year-old crosses the station to go to school. Where is he supposed to go?
It is a big hub for all. It is a problem, isn't it? We've got a big taxi hub there, people picking up buses, you know, pedestrians coming out of the station, and this major cycle route. So it is a difficult problem, but it's not insolvable. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, there just seems no attempt to guide anybody as to how to use it.
And we're people who live in Cambridge, but it's a key hub for visitors. So if we don't know where to go, how do the visitors know where to go?
So we're going to break in on there for a second, because we've actually got some breaking news here from the Sky News desk. United States actor Luke Perry, known for his roles in Beverly Hills, 90210 and Riverdale, has died at the age of 52. So very sad for anyone who is into 90210. So that's Luke Perry. So we're now going to play Spin That Wheel. I can tell you're very excited, aren't you? Spin That Wheel. Spin That Wheel, it's our 3-minute time trial of cycling-related questions, a sort of vox pop of cycling habits. This way I go out and about, and I do literally pounce on people if I see them with a bicycle in Cambridge, and I ask them for 3 minutes of questions. And, well, our first person is, this could only happen in Cambridge, is a corporate banking manager. His name is Kevin. He's lived in his life in Cambridge, and he's worked in Cambridge all his life as well.
Spin That Wheel.
What's your earliest memory of cycling?
I think my earliest memory of cycling would be cycling to school, aged 11, between 11 and 16, when we used to have options of either catching the bus, which would take about an hour and a half into school, or to cycle directly, which is about 3.5-4 miles. And it was always a good thing to do for getting there early, but also fitness-wise.
And do you have any special memories from those times cycling to school?
Not really, but one fun time, I suppose, was one a mate of mine managed to borrow a tandem for a day, so we both cycled in on that, which was fun, but not done it since, which is a long time.
What type of cycling do you enjoy most now?
I suppose just social and fitness, really. It's just a matter of spending a bit, just to try and keep a bit of the weight off, I suppose.
And whereabouts do you cycle?
Just around the village, so we tend to go from my current village around to a couple of others, which is about half an hour cycle time. Nothing too special or strenuous, really.
What sort of bicycle do you currently cycle?
My dad always used to make me one that he would generate himself, but so I've got a bit more upmarket, so I now have a hybrid which suits me down to the ground.
And so did your dad cycle a lot?
Only to work and back, really. So he would, again, he didn't drive, so he'd always cycle everywhere, basically. So the family's always has had cycling in the blood, but that's, I suppose, where we get a bit of our history from.
And what's the longest distance you've ever cycled?
Hard to say, probably, doesn't sound a great deal in today's world, but about 15 miles probably, just on a social social cycle ride, basically.
And if you could cycle anywhere in the world, which location would you choose and with whom?
Okay. Well, probably a mate of mine, which we laugh about all the time, we'd probably go cycling in St Wolfgang around the lake, we could do, because that's a very nice part of Austria, and it'll be good company, good times.
So you obviously enjoy cycling with company or friends. Do you actually prefer to cycle solo or in the company of your friends?
Don't really mind. I suppose most of the cycling I do is on a solo basis, so I'm happy with my own company, but it's also good sometimes to have a bit of a cycle out with a friend and have a natter, basically.
Who's your cycling hero and why?
I don't really have a cycling hero. I suppose I enjoy cycling to a certain amount, but also I do like watching indoor cycling, basically. And
thank you, Kev. Time's up.
Okay.
Spin that wheel.
This is
105.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
This is indeed. This is Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Cycle show, new cycle road to the station, and we've finally got up and running. Thank you very much to engineering there. They are superb people. Yeah, it was pointed out to me. I didn't even tell you who I was, did I, at the beginning? So my name is Phil Minot, but actually more important are the guests I've got with me. Now, coming up soon, we're going to be finding out about Cambridge Junior Cycling Club. But before then, Anna... I didn't mention this before, but I just had a thought, actually. Newts.
Right, yeah. It's been in the news. No, it's lizards, isn't it?
I thought it was newts.
I wondered about that. It was reported as lizards. But
I don't think we have lizards, do we, like that?
I
think it's newts. It would be newts in Cambridge.
Oh, wrong. Okay.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay, so anyway, newts,
can I lizards. Just... If Cambridge 105... If Faye says lizards, it's lizard. If the news desk said that, but I don't think they did. I think they said newts.
Okay, I'm going from the local newspapers,
but don't go from the newspaper. You go from your radio in future.
Okay.
It's definitely newts.
Anyway, reptiles are in the news because it's reported that they've sort of delayed slightly the progress of the Chisholm Trail. Because one of the areas where the Chisholm Trail will be working is a underpass under Newmarket Road near the historic Leper Chapel, if people sort of know where that is. And exciting news about the Chisholm Trail this week is that they've got an official start of works sod cutting ceremony on Friday. So that's kind of just to say that, yeah, everything's underway on the Chisholm Trail. One of the first parts that will be... developed is this new Abbey Chesterton bridge over the river, just next to the railway bridge. So that'll be a great link for people between Abbey and Chesterton, and a key part of getting people sort of to the science park and from north to south as well. So yeah, we're really excited to progress of the Chisholm Trail, and then that's all happening this year.
Thank you. And of course, now I've got a good name for the new restaurant, haven't I?
I haven't heard this.
Newts. Now, coming up soon, we're going to be talking to our friend Rob Turner from Outspoken Cycles. He's our go-to man for anything technical, anything the rest of us don't understand. He's our sprocket and bracket man for sure. But first, it's time to visit Milton Country Park, home to Cambridge Junior Cycling Club, where I was lucky enough to meet up with British Cycling Club volunteer and British Cycling Club coach Ramona Loveridge. And she was telling me about how the next generation of cyclists are being mentored here in Cambridge.
Well done. Keep going. Keep pedalling. Inside leg up round the corners and then you won't catch it and fall over. Try and put it in a smaller gear. And then it'll be a bit more comfortable for you.
We're here at Milton Country Park. Explain where we're standing.
So we're standing on our mountain bike course that was set up by one of our coaches a few years ago. And so as you can see, this isn't a designated coaching session, but you can see just the youngsters using it and when they come along to the park. So it's really useful.
So tell us about Cambridge Junior Cycling Club. When was it first founded?
So that was founded on the back of the Tour de France coming to Cambridge by Simon Fairhall and Living Sport. So they gather together the resources in order to provide a coach, and then a few of us volunteered for the role of coaches. We went off and trained, did our British Cycling coaches level two, and we've had continued ever since. So that was 2013, 2014.
And is it well supported by young people?
Yes, we get a fair few riders. We have run a mountain bike course here at Milton Country Park, and also tarmac sessions for road cyclists. So we have a variety of cycling disciplines that we can cater for. And also the Muddy Monsters series and the cyclocross races are very well supported.
Indeed, the country park here actually held a very big cyclocross meeting, didn't it, the other week?
Yes, there was about 400 riders here, and all adults and juniors, actually. Very exciting. It was their last race of the season, and it was just brilliant to see all the bikes here at the Milton Country Park.
Now, the sessions you take part in are the ones at Cottenham?
Yes, that's right. So tarmac sessions for primarily road bikes. However, it's for any youngster really that can come along on any bike, 6:30 to 7:30 on Monday evenings, every first and third Monday of the month.
So this is quite an asset, isn't it, for cycling, because generally cycling in the county doesn't have a lot of off-road facilities, does it?
No, Milton Country Park, Cambridge Sport Lakes have actually been very supportive and have now taken us over as a club. So they've provided this area for us and have been very supportive in terms of the grounds and now the admin support that we need in order to keep the club going.
So I presume that the parents of the young people quite like the fact it's off-road, and they're obviously safe. But I wonder, the young people themselves, do they find cycling on a not necessarily busy road, but just a normal road with traffic on, and perhaps a backstreet road or country road, do they actually find that a hazard, or do they look on it as an adventure?
I think you've always got to bear safety aspects in mind. And the Cambridge is supposed to be a cycling city. However, if you ask people's opinions, a lot of people do feel unsafe on the road, and British Cycling and I think HSBC recently did a research study into showing attitudes of people cycling, and essentially it was safety that came up as a major feature. They didn't feel safe cycling on the roads.
So what are the basic skills you as a coach would want to install into a young cyclist?
So confidence on a bike, confidence and having fun on the bike. So you've got the thrill of actually using it as like as a sport, but also as a means of getting from A to B. And if you having that skill throughout life as a means of transport, I mean, it's just brilliant for the environment. And hopefully it's the way that's been supported throughout the nation, really, throughout.
We hear a lot about young children not getting out and about enough and spending too long stuck in front of a computer screen. Do you notice, are children fearless still when they ride a bicycle? Because I remember, I suspect the same for you, when you were young and growing up, it really didn't matter what you jumped your bicycle over and which hill you rode down, or if you went off-road, or if you just fell off your bicycle a few times. Are children still like that?
I think they're being curtailed in a way by safety features. It seems that there's a lot more in life now that takes up youngsters' time, and screen time is one of those things where people are spending a lot of time on either tablets or computers. Then that takes them away from actually spending time outside, running around, and those kind of fundamental movements that you need on a bike. So, yeah, it's a kind of sitting down and being sedentary, really, which is kind of perhaps taking away the fact that they've got restriction of movement. So I know that British Cycling are actually encouraging through something that they're promoting for schools, for teachers, for parents. They have educational materials on their British Cycling website. It's called Fundamentals. It's called Ready, Steady, Ride. And it's about fundamentals of movement. It's getting children moving on a bike, getting their confidence on a bike. And those skills they can then use for any kind of sport, really.
Children love the freedom of cycling, don't they? Because I'm just looking while you're chatting, the trio of youngsters who are here now. They haven't stopped, have they?
No, they've just kept going. And in fact, it's a beautiful day out here. This is free for them. They can just come and ride. It's safe. And there's no traffic around. And yeah, they're having a whale of a time.
Since the club was formed, Cambria Junior Cycling Club, has there been, have any of the original young people, have they now gone into what we might call mainstream cycling?
They have. So you've got a couple of our riders, Jude Law and Milo Chaplin, that have gone on to win events at the Cambridge Cycling Club. And they were heavily supported as youngsters and then came through as adults.
Last time we spoke, you actually said to me, didn't you, which I thought was quite nice coming from a coach, you said to me, it's not all about making every cyclist a champion.
Definitely. I mean, cycling is there for, as I say, as a means to get from A to B in terms of travel. It's there as a means of keeping fit. It's there for enjoyment, just going out with your mates. So it's not necessarily as a sport. And, you know, biking is fun. It's as long as you're dressed for the weather and the climate and the and then you're set to go, really.
Now, you just mentioned the climate, and I'm going to point out to you, you've dragged me outside. It's only the beginning of March, so I think it's about time we went to find that cafe to see if it's open, and I'll treat you to a piece of cake and a cup of coffee.
Oh, that sounds great.
This is 105. Cambridge 105 Radio.
So there we have it, Ramona Loveridge of Cambridge Junior Cycle Club. They meet in Milton Country Park and also Cottenham Village College. If you want to find out more about it, then go to the Milton Country Park website and all the details are there. And the Junior Cycling Club is also on Facebook. Peter, while that was on, you were commenting about the names which were mentioned.
Yeah, Milo Chapman is a good rider who rode for Cambridge, I think, last year. He's now moved on to Corley Cycles, which is a young sort of development squad. I remember a couple of years ago when he had a bit of a growth spurt, and all of a sudden he was a couple of minutes faster on all the time trials.
I'm still waiting for my growth spurt. Mary, you're also commenting about the importance of getting young people out and about on bicycles.
Yeah, I just think it's fantastic if people can go outside. I mean, one of the main ways, I was cycling down the busway only on Saturday, and I could see families, mum, dad and the two children on a bike. So obviously that's quite safe. And I also saw, maybe Rob can come in here, it wasn't a tandem, it was mum, dad and then the child all in line. Okay, so it wasn't quite a triplet.
It could be, yes.
Yeah.
Three seats. All pedalling?
All pedalling. Yeah, and yes. The child was about 8 or 9,
so... A very good one, made just in Cambridgeshire here, in Cersei Cycles, Long Stanton. They make a brilliant triplet.
Yeah.
Come and try one. We've got one in Outspoken.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. But it was just so lovely to see a family out together. And, you know, at the end of St Ives, you've got various things to see in St Ives, or along the way you've got the nature reserves at Long Stanton. So it's just getting children out in the open. You know, and as Ramona said, you know, to just have the skills of how to cycle and not be an ignorant cyclist is just so important.
Yes, makes a difference.
Yeah.
So there we are, let's get our young people cycling. We've just actually had an email in from a listener in Long Stanton, Ivy, and she's commenting about Anna's comments about Station Square. She says, hooray, at last a subject on which Cambridge car drivers and cyclists can unite. Who would have thought it? Station Square is not that much fun for pedestrians too, especially as those arriving at the station for the first time. Did the City Council and the developers consult directly with local cycling lobby groups before this was planned out, or was it part of a general consultation process? Anything to say to that, Anna?
I think it was a public consultation and kind of has to go through all the normal kind of planning process. But I think things changed because I think at the beginning of when the Station Square was proposed, it was actually going to be a kind of big name architect. It was going to be this grand thing. So I think even some of the visuals that we saw just a couple of years ago, what it looks like now is vastly different to those visuals. So I'm not quite sure something got lost in translation there. And it's kind of clearly not working as it should do.
Can I add something as well? I think Ivy's point of it's not a them and us situation. You know, we're all road users. We're all trying to use that space, you know, whether we've got cars and taking cars there, whether a taxi driver or a cyclist or a pedestrian, we're all there, you know, doing the same thing. And we're all trying to work in harmony. You know, it's so important that there isn't a them or us, you know, situation.
Yeah. I mean, and actually most people travel in all those different ways. I mean, most cyclists in Cambridge drive as well, and then they might, you know, get the train or the bus on other occasions. So yeah, there's definitely we would echo that as well.
So there we go, time to move on. You're listening to Cambridge 105 Radio, Behind the Bike Shed, the new cycle show here for Cambridge. And I hope you've worked out already, this cycle show for anyone who cycles, you know, whether you're a sporting cyclist like Peter here or whether like Annie, you just enjoy cycling really, don't you? And it's part of your everyday life with your family. Folding cycles are fast becoming very popular. And you only have to go to some networking events here in Cambridge, I notice, and it feels as if folding bikes are fast becoming part of a must-have fashion accessory around Cambridge. And if you travel on the train, you also find out everyone has a folding bicycle. Rob of Outspoken Cycles, now you're going to tell us a rundown. You're going to unfurl, aren't you?
Goodness.
You're going to actually, you wouldn't unfurl, would you, a bicycle, because it would suggest that it was all a bit wobbly. You're going to unravel the mysteries of folding bicycles for us, aren't they?
Well, some are held together with cables, and they in fact do need unfurling. So you're quite right, but most don't. No, they mount. And you're right again. They sometimes can be status symbols. They really can give you quite a bit of kudos at the board meeting or whatever, but mainly they're a very practical way of integrating different forms of transport. So if you're going to the station, very often the easiest way is to take your bike. What do you do with it? You fold it, take it on the train, and use it the other end for your ride. You can put it in the back of the car. So it's something that links up other means of transport.
So I guess the question is, you know, why have they become so popular? Because it's pretty obvious as you go out and about, they are very, very popular now, aren't they?
Well, everyone loves a gadget, so there is a little bit of that, but it's mainly for practical things. It's people have small areas for storage, so you can fold it, store it at home quite easily. Security, you can take it into the office rather than leave it outside. So it's a whole host of reasons, which are all practical ones.
So I suppose the question is, because to me there seems there's quite a lot to choose from when I look online and stuff. I'm not a folding bicycle sort of man, but is it a complicated decision to decide which one's the best for your sort of use?
You've got to think about what you're actually doing with it. So if you are commuting with it and you're using other forms of transport, it needs to fold pretty small. So you need to be able to get it into the train, into the storage compartments there. While if you're riding it, if you're off on a training camp, for example, you're travelling sort of by aeroplane, you need something which will perform at the other end. So you need something with bigger wheels. Now, bigger wheels immediately mean that it won't fold as small, and it might well take longer to fold. But when you get there, it will perform like an ordinary road bike.
So, what about the handling of them? Because you've got Peter next to you. Now, Peter, I presume, yeah. Peter, you like a bicycle where it just, you know, well, it's super smooth, eh?
Super smooth, super light, yeah.
Yeah, so you see, now, Peter's probably a little bit like myself, and I know Mary's quite a precision. You like your bicycle to be handled quite well, don't you?
Yes.
And I know, Anna, you've got a nice bicycle. I've seen you on a bicycle. It's very thick. See, I always think folding bicycles, they're very lumpy when I ride them. Is that the right? The ones I've ridden in the past have been.
You need to try one with a bigger wheel. I think that's almost certainly the case. You know, the smaller the wheel, the lumpier the ride. There's less give in the wheel themselves, so they don't absorb the shock as well. And generally, the shorter wheelbase makes them a bit choppier to ride, and they don't take potholes as well. And we've got so many potholes out there that that is a major factor. But if you try something like a Montague, or again going back to this Longstanton company, Airnimal, they make some lovely 24-inch wheeled bikes, which if you close your eyes, you shouldn't do when you're riding it, but if you close your eyes, you wouldn't think you're on a, you know, professional racing machine.
So is it a bit of a myth that the size wheel makes it hard work? You know, the smaller the wheel, the harder the work? Or is that not true with folding bikes these days?
Alex Moulton did a huge amount of research on wheel size, and he came to the conclusion, he's an engineer, he came to the conclusion that the 17-inch wheel was the optimum. Now, that's very small. In terms of rolling resistance, it's more to do with the width of the tyre. And the narrower the tyre, the harsher the ride. You know, the pneumatic nature of the tyre is something which gives you the comfort in most bikes. So to go for a narrow tyre on a small wheel means you need suspension. This is something that Moulton did, and he made a very high performance bike with a small wheel. If you make a less sophisticated machine, you probably can't afford to fit the suspension on it, or certainly not good suspension, and that means you're going to have a very harsh ride. And if you're trying to make it fold very small, you're going to have a very short wheelbase as well. Now, that all contributes to a poor ride, this horrible ride that you felt. Try something with a longer wheelbase and bigger wheels. That'll you'll get blown away.
My concern, Rob, would be, how is it just 1, 2, 3 and it folds? Or is it very precise how you have to fold it?
Again,
it depends.
Yeah, for something that you're commuting with, you want it to fold quickly.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be easy, and you don't want to get oily.
Yeah.
You know, for something which is higher performance, generally it takes longer, often a lot longer, you know, rather than... Fastest folding machine, I think, is a Birdie, which the record is 4.9 seconds to fold it. Now, that's monstrously fast.
That's more the simplicity.
Now, I've heard about the Birdie. Is this the blue... Is that the blue Birdie?
They're done in all sorts of colours. But they have suspension, they have a 20-inch wheel.
Is this the really expensive bicycle?
They're
the super designer one?
They're about £2,000, yeah. Ah, no, that you're thinking of the carbon fibre, the lightest one in the bird, the Hummingbird.
That's it, Hummingbird.
Now, that comes in at 6.9 kilos.
6.9 kilos,
which is the lightest production bike. It's only single speed. It looks stunning.
You said the weight, and Peter suddenly suddenly woke up there, didn't you?
I was just thinking of the UCI weight limit. I think that's just under it, is it? Or just
it's
on,
not
on
used
the
in competition, so we're safe.
And that's basically the world governing body for cycling, really, UCI. If anyone's not sure where that one was,
and they've now gone electric, I think, as well.
Yes, well, the Hummingbird is available in an electric version as well, but also Brompton, who are really the market leaders, and in some ways they're the sort of perfect mix of ride against foldability, against everything else. They now have an electric version. Various companies in Cambridge as well have electric add-ons for Brompton. Arc Engineering do a motorised system which works with Moulton's or Brompton's. So yes, the electric market is very, very important. It makes a bike suddenly very usable. You can use it in all conditions. You don't think, no, I won't bother, I'll go in the car, because it's easy on an electric bike. It really is, but you're still getting exercise, and it still penetrates to where you want to go. You can get to the station, you can get to the shops, you can park up close, and that gives you all the advantages of cycling with a bit of assistance.
Yeah, and I think that's the accessibility, isn't it? If you go to London, I will often cycle to the station, so that brings in Anna and how the station is for cycling.
Yeah.
And then you will get on the train, and then your bike is actually folded up, and then you hit London, and then you're just off on your bike. Yeah. And there's so many cycleways in London, and it's an easy commute.
Yeah. Now, I remember a time, Rob, when you and I, we quite often, didn't we, find ourselves on the same train together, don't we? Going to London for various things. But Rob always has his folding bicycle with him. And I remember one particular time, because it was a cycling, we were both going to the same cycle event in London, wasn't it? It was at the Business Design Exhibition Centre, wasn't it? It was a very good show.
I didn't see you there. I think you were...
No, you did see me there. You definitely saw me there, because I turned up, and by the time I went by public transport from the train station, and Rob went on his folding bicycle. By the time I got there, you'd actually been around most of the stalls and you were telling me which ones I should go to and which ones I couldn't go to. So it was a bit of a time saver, wasn't it, for you? Back
sort of
to
anecdotes we like, yes.
Back to Cambridge commuters. I'm sure there may well be someone listening at the moment who's listening and they like what you're saying, Rob, and they're thinking, well, I don't actually work in... I don't live in Cambridge within cycling distance, but I do come into Cambridge occasionally and I drive in, but I like the idea of parking the outside of town and getting a bicycle out my boot, out the boot of your car perhaps. Is that a good idea for people? And is the sort of price range for people with folding bikes, would it make it worth their while?
There's a tremendous range of prices and from £250 up to well, the Hummingbird we were talking about at about £4,500. You get better performance from a more expensive bike, but the cheaper bikes will work. They're generally heavier, but you can lift it into the back of car. You can stop at the park and ride and ride in. Also from the satellite villages, Cambridge Cycle Campaign's done such a brilliant job in building routes and sort of helping to encourage routes to be built in that you don't have to get really even into the centre of Cambridge. You can stop in one of the villages and pooter on in. It's a good way of...
Now, here's a question. I think... Sorry, Anna.
I was just going to say, just going back to electric bikes, that's a really key benefit as well, that people can cycle further with an electric bike. And we've actually got a feature on electric bikes in the latest Cam Cycle magazine, which has just been sort of distributed this week. So that goes to members. It'll be up on our website soon. It'll be in cafes and libraries and things. So some really interesting kind of insights into e-bikes and from people that sell them, ride them, and kind of like facts of how they're growing. They're really, I mean, I think it's in Holland, there's some news came out this week that more e-bikes are sold than normal bikes now. So that market is really growing fast.
And the folding electric bike just makes it even more versatile. So it does work very well.
So just one last thing, Rob, before we move on. What's the world record for a folding bike? If anyone knows, you'll know.
I think that would be the Alex Moulton again, which held the world record for a long time, 52.9 miles an hour.
You're right, I've got it in front of me, that's why I asked you. He's spot on, this guy's
good,
amazing.
Good.
You're the right person. I think they might get rid of a host for the next show, but they're certainly be keeping the contributors,
now,
so you're all safe.
Flying start, that's two ways, so it's not wind-assisted, and yes, quite an achievement. Held it for years and years.
Well, as per always, Rob, thank you so much for your insight into these wonderful things, and you will be back soon, I hope. So that's Rob Turner there from Outspoken Cycles. You're not going to run away, though, are you? Because coming up soon, we're going to be chatting to Peter Blenko, who's organiser of this brilliant road race, and it's going to be the south of the roads south of the city. West of the city, really, isn't it? But in South Cambridgeshire. We're going to be talking about that very soon. But before that, we've got chance to play one more time. We're going to play Spin That Wheel. Yeah, well done. You'll get with it. I promise you'll get with it. Now, so my second volunteer I pounced on in the centre of Cambridge, and this is Natalie. She's French. She's a French teacher here in Cambridge. And... she had volunteered to play our three-minute time trial of cycling-related questions. Natalie was born and grew up in the land of the Tour de France. She's French, obviously. And now, obviously, being French, she was going to love all things cycling, wasn't she? We'll find out.
Spin that wheel.
What's your earliest memory of cycling?
It's probably when I was, six, eight, in the street with all a bunch of friends, cycling and roller skating and being pulled by the dogs and bikes up and down the street.
What sort of cycling do you enjoy now?
Going from A to B.
And where's the A to B usually?
Usually Milton, Cambridge.
And when you cycle there, what sort of bicycle do you cycle on?
It's just a standard road woman bicycle.
Do you have a basket?
I do have a basket.
And what would usually be in that basket?
My handbag in the basket at the front and my shopping at the back in two bags.
And how often do you cycle?
Not that often anymore. Maybe once a month.
And what would be the perfect dream cycle ride for you? Whereabouts in the world would it be and with whom?
Oh, with whom? I'm not sure. But certainly in Greece, hopping from island to island in September in a nice warm breeze.
Now, you're French, so I'm assuming you love the Tour de France?
Not really. I never really followed it. My memory of the Tour de France is we were not allowed to do anything until the Tour de France was finished because everybody was in front of the TV watching the Tour de France. So, no, I don't follow it.
So you must be really happy that cycling's now big in the UK, having moved here.
Yes. I followed the first one, but it doesn't do anything to me.
Do any members of your family cycle?
The children. Little one is doing a paper round every morning on the cycle. So,
as a mother of a cyclist, which one improvement do you think would encourage more people, particularly the young, to enjoy cycling?
Making a helmet and high-vis jacket obligatory.
And why do you think that would make people enjoy cycling?
Well, it'd be safer, so they will enjoy it more. And the car will be more aware of the cyclist. That's my fear when I cycle. That the driver don't see me.
And now you're not into cycling as such, but are there any cycling sporting people who you admire?
Not really, no, I'm afraid. No.
And do you think Cambridge is a good place to cycle in?
Yes, it's flat enough. No big hills to go up and down. So, yes, that's quite nice to cycle around Cambridge.
And do you think you'll get on your bike more than once a week?
I'm trying.
Spin that wheel.
Spin that wheel there. And Natalie did tell me, actually, one reason. She did go to see the Tour de France once, and she didn't like it very much because all the cyclists came whooshing past her, and then one cyclist at the end, he came past, and he took a call of nature, and he was sort of whooshing in a different way, and it put her off it for life. Peter Blanco, thank you for joining us, a member of Cambridge Cycling Club and organiser of this weekend's, coming weekend, isn't it, the Ikesill Road Race, which is going to be held to the south of Cambridge. And how many people are going to be taking part in this race, Pete?
That's right, Phil, so it's just west of Cambridge, actually. It's going to be 60 people racing in it, and there's probably about 40 volunteers that help out with running the race. But 60 entrants, and they range from about 16, 17 years old up until, but our oldest entrant, I think, is somewhere in mid-50s. So we have a range, I guess, more at the lower end of that. And we've got four of our own Cambridge CC riders in that race. One of those is Jude Dodd, who was mentioned earlier, came up through the Junior Cycling Club in Cambridge. He raced last year. I think he struggled a little bit, but he's probably a year older now, year wiser and a bit stronger. We also have the oldest rider in the race, Bjorn Krylander, who's an experienced rider and has done a lot of racing. He rode well last year, winning a couple of races, so I'm hoping that he'll be able to do well for Cambridge this year. Last year's race was actually won by a Cambridge rider, so Jim Bradford won the race last year after an extraordinary breakaway.
Jim Bradford, now he's the guy who used to be in Oxford, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
he's,
right.
He's a rower.
I think so, yeah.
He'd probably have to drop his head, wouldn't he, to come into this room?
He would do. It's a bit of a low door. He's quite a tall lad, former rower, who's come into cycling about 2 years ago, and he's made a bit of an impact in Cambridge. He's now moved on. He's moved on to a domestic pro team, so he's going to be riding this year for Active Edge. So you'll see those in the Tour series on TV. So he won't be racing this year. He won the race last year. This year we've got some other good riders from the region racing. A chap called Benjamin Bainan of Strada Sport, a young guy. Came second in the first race of the season last week. He'll be riding, so he'll be a firm favourite for the race. A couple of other Strada Sport riders also racing. Some other locals from St Ives, from Orwell, Ashwell also racing on Sunday.
So I'm just going to, just because I'm just thinking now, for some people, a road race, so it's obviously, it's not obviously at all, because some people might not know, but the road race, it's very similar to what you would see in the Tour de France, as came to Cambridge, but obviously on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
And I'm presuming you have permission from the police to do this.
That's right, yeah. The police know about it and they've been informed. And we do it in partnership with British Cycling. Yeah. So it's all very well controlled. And the way it works is you have a convoy of vehicles. So you'll have some vehicles in front of the race and behind the race. And they'll sort of police it round. And there's also some motorbike outriders as well from the National Escort Group who will keep the riders safe and stop the traffic when they
need
to.
It's a great spectacle.
It is.
I mean, it is a local, and it's also part of the Eastern Road Race League, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's a series of races across the whole region that happen all summer, and you can definitely come down and watch. Just stand at the side of the road.
And we don't want people moving around the Corso, do we? The cars and stuff like
preferably
that.
Not. Yeah, just park up somewhere, and it's a bit better than the Tour de France as well, because you'll see them come past about five times. So it won't just.
And actually, I would suggest if you're listening to this and you want, you could cycle out there, of course, or if you also wanted to take the family out there, park away from the course, walk up to someone wearing a tabard, and when it's safe to do so, ask them about the race. And in my experience, they will tell you about it.
Yeah.
And all the riders happening from it. Ike Silve, now this race is named after Ike Silve. Now I think I'm probably the only person in this studio who's actually got to meet Ike Silve. Ike Silve, you know, oh that's good. See, Rob knows everyone.
He used to help me out on occasions at the workshop.
He used to work in various cycle shops, didn't he, around the city?
He was
lovely
guy.
Yeah. Lovely guy, and he was very dedicated to young people getting involved in the sport. And the one thing I remember about Ike is he used to travel with a cigarette. He'd cycle, work in the workshop, didn't he? And there was a cigarette always, very like a Belgium-type retired cyclist. He just used to hanging down there, burning away. Obviously, we don't endorse smoking, but it worked with Ike, didn't it? He was a much loved and much missed member of the cycling community, isn't he?
It really is a good race to go and watch. I, 1 year, volunteered at it for Cambridge Cycling Club, but just standing on the corner, and the finish is uphill, isn't it, if I remember
correctly? Yeah, that's right, the finish
and
is...
It's such a close finish, oh my goodness, and it's up a hill, Cambridge Hill.
Yeah,
they always say there are no hills in Cambridge, this course is hilly.
The course has a bit of flat, after all it's Cambridge, but there are definitely hills in it, and it finishes in the village of Kingston, so it's a slight uphill bit, and it also goes over Wimpole Hill, so that's quite
so
a steep one.
It's so exciting. Yeah. It's on our doorstep.
Now, presumably because it's an ideal course of this time of year, isn't it, for an early season race?
Yeah, it's not too extreme. It's not really steep, really difficult, but it's a nice rolling course. There's plenty of chances for the breakaways, that sort of thing. And, you know, you've got to make it happen as a rider, so you've got to take your chances.
And you were saying earlier when we were speaking in the green room, you were saying to me that actually it's a sort of race where if a chance comes along, you can't sit there thinking, I'm going to wait another lap before I break. You almost have to make the most of it there and then.
Yeah, you just need to go for it, really. There's only five laps or four and a half laps, so you haven't got all day to make it happen.
And what time did you say it started, if people are interested?
The race starts at 8:30 on Sunday, and the finish, they normally, riders reach the finish at about 10:45, 11 o'clock, so they'll have done... In that 2.5 hours, they'll have done 65 miles when they reach the finish. And yeah, come to the finish line in Kingston if you want to catch the final sprint.
So exciting.
I mean, it is a wonderful spectacle, isn't it? And it's nice because there's so many cyclists get a chance to feel the experience of racing properly, isn't it, with road racing?
Yes, yeah, it's a great experience racing. I mean, if you're interested in getting involved with racing as well, then definitely contact the cycling club in Cambridge. Who'd be more than happy to help you get involved in racing. And you can join all the other amateurs who every summer are racing week in and week out and really enjoying the sport.
And if you do, if you said people want to get involved in cycling, Cambridge Cycling Club, one of many the many local cycling clubs we now have in Cambridge, Sporting Club, you have a website, don't you, people can go to?
If you just search Cambridge Cycling Club on Google, you'll find it.
And the other thing I was going to say, people are keen to find out how a cycling club works. Sunday mornings, you have various Sunday runs, don't you? And different speeds?
Yeah, that's right. We meet at Adam Brooks Hospital. You can't really miss it. There'll be about 50, 60 cyclists there. And we have different groups of different speeds. So come down and you can try out a couple of rides before you decide if you want to join or not.
So thank you, Peter. And I apologise to anyone listening for the dodgy start there. I'm going to have to put my stabilisers back on. I think the engineer's gone to sort some stabilisers for me here. Thank you so much for everyone at Cambridge 105 who's been so helpful and supportive in getting this programme off the air. Special thank you to my guest today, Mary Twitchett. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
And we're going to hear more from Mary as the programmes go on. Anna Williams from Cam Cycle, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And keep us posted. Pete Blenko from Cambridge Cycling Club. Have you enjoyed your first time in a radio studio?
It's been great, thanks.
Usually it's a lot more professional, the person this side, I have to tell you that. But it will get better, I promise. And Rob Turner, thank you so much. And hopefully you'll be back to help us as well, won't you?
Thank you.
That's it from us. You've been listening to Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Be back here hopefully in 2 weeks' time. Going to be talking to top cycling coach Tim Williams. And also we're going to be visiting the Hinkston Genome Campus. Intrigued? I bet you are. I bet you'll want to listen to it, won't you?